This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net.
Hello again, everybody. This is Wells Tech, episode 494, recorded on April 25th, 2017. My name is Martin Spriggs, and I'm joined, as usual, by Sally Draper. Hey, Sally, how are you?
I am awesome, Martin. Happy to be joining you today. Also happy that it's Education Week, Ed Tech Week on Wells Tech, and we have our friend Rachel Feld joining us from Bethany in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Hi, Rachel.
Hey, Sally. Hi, Martin.
How are you?
Oh, doing pretty well. You know, I have a student teacher right now, so I had a pretty easy day.
There's probably
way to go.
Student teachers, right? Because they do, they don't always save you time, do they?
Well, you know, it's a little more time at the beginning, but she's just got a week and a half left, so just kind of sitting back and watching it happen.
Okay, nice. And spring's in the air, and you've got spring colors on. Nice to see the paint.
Yeah. I'm thinking you need to enjoy that student teacher while you have her, because I don't know that they give you student teachers at MLC. You're heading over New Ulm direction soon, I heard.
Yes, I am. I'm very excited to be taking a new position there. Dr. Grunwald is retiring, and so I will be taking over as Director of Academic Computing, I believe is the title. So that should be really fun. I'm really excited for that.
You have a big summer ahead of you.
Congratulations.
Yes. Have to move and plan for new classes and all sorts of fun stuff.
Nice. Cool. Maybe you and Sally will be neighbors up there.
Yeah.
Although Sally is not
great.
Home today, is she? Those of you watching.
No.
Home would recognize probably the surroundings from previous episodes down in Natchez, Mississippi.
Where the Old South still lives. And my mom's home, actually, for the last time. It is being sold in a couple of weeks. So down here to help her out a little bit with that transition, and blessed to be able to still do Wells Tech from the Technology South office down here in Mississippi.
Very nice. So we probably should jump into our ed tech topic of the day. And I'm kind of excited about this. This is kind of a high-level view, and maybe we'll get into some specifics as well, about the changing role of teachers. And I think it's probably not lost on anybody that things are a little bit different than they used to be as we introduce technology into the classroom, and probably a good time to step back and think through what that all means.
Yeah, I was trying to relate to this a little. I have a teaching background, but I didn't teach for very long. But just imagine any career, I guess, that is so radically changed by the introduction of technology. I mean, certainly office careers have had huge implementations of computers and things like that. But for the teacher, it's more than just them being able to use computers and use them to enhance their teaching abilities and their administrative abilities and things like that. This is actually taking that technology and putting it in the students' hands. So the disruption is across the board in education, and it is very exciting, especially for those of us, Martin and I, who get to sit back and just talk about it. But for the classroom teacher, I can imagine it can be quite a bit intimidating, and it's just the expectation these days, not just that you understand computers, but that you can effectively manage them and enhance students' learning with their use of computing devices. Rachel, how is that for you in your first and second grade classroom?
Well, you know, you're absolutely right, Sally. I think back to 11 years ago when I was assigned here and there were two PCs sitting in the corner that there were a few CD-ROM games the kids could play on, and the iPads weren't even a thing, and just the amount of technology that's come across in 10 years is not a very long time. And really, education has just been so transformed. I consider myself a fairly techie person, and even I get very overwhelmed at, you know, you need to use this website for this thing, and then you can log in here, and what if you did this kind of activity, and how are they going to get their files from this iPad into this app or to you so that you can assess it? How are you going to assess something that's digital? And I think if I'm struggling with those kind of things as someone who's competent in tech, the teachers who are not so competent, you know, they have to really be floundering. So finding a way for teachers to feel comfortable and competent with these myriad of resources is really important.
So it's the timing's great. Oh, go ahead, Sally.
No, you go ahead. That's fine.
So the timing is interesting here, Rachel, as you've accepted this new call and you will kind of be in the thick of answering some of the questions that we're going to talk about here, gauging what the expectations are and the needs are for our classrooms across the Synod, and then trying to figure out how to get or prep the graduates, those people, and maybe even continuing ed scenarios, helping them try and match up those expectations with the skill sets needed. That's a little scary, I think, isn't it?
Terrifying is maybe a better word, but I actually just had a meeting with James Karlofsky last night, and who has been involved in that area at MLC as well, and trying to figure out, you know, how we can get the students that are coming in to be at a level where they'll be comfortable. But you think also the students that are coming in, they're coming into MLC at so many different levels. The kids who had Chromebooks at their high school, you know, they understand all Google Docs things, hopefully. But if kids don't have Chromebooks, if they haven't been exposed to that, then that's a whole nother, you have to bring them in at a different starting point. So very overwhelming, but I'm very excited to kind of tackle that task.
That's cool.
What do you think the expectations are from school parents these days, especially on the elementary level, for the technical skill sets that a teacher should be bringing to the table these days?
I think it really varies in my experience, just depending on parents and location. I have some parents who are very tech oriented, and they love that I am emailing things or sending, you know, digital reminders. And they love that the kids are doing projects on the iPads. But then you have the other parents who are like, well, you know, they get screen time at home. How is that different from screen time at school? Is it too much screen time? So really, it's a balancing act, and, you know, making sure you're meeting all the parents' needs or explaining why, you know, school screen time is a little bit different than their video games and Minecraft at home. For some teachers, it's even explaining why Minecraft can be educational. So yes, we are playing it in the classroom. I think communication is just as important with technology, if not even more so.
I see that from a teacher's perspective, you know, just that communication with the parents and keeping that going is an additional rock in their backpack thing they need to deal with because of technology, besides managing the students in the classroom, managing themselves. And the thing is, when they roll around to do it again next year, things are probably going to be different because technology is constantly changing. That technology you depended on this year may not even be out there next year when you want to just go back and have the comfort level that I understand this. It may be gone or completely different or whatever. So it's not just raising, you know, their confidence and teaching them some specific tools. Teachers really need to be able to be agile to change and find new tools and learn again constantly with technology.
Yeah, I think it's very important both in teacher training and in professional development of teachers who are teaching right now that they're not so much taught a particular tool, but how to apply a wide variety of tools. So they're taught the concept behind the tool. So if whatever app they're using goes away, they can find one that does the same kind of thing. Yeah, too often I've learned this one website really well and that I can use it. And that's wonderful until that website suddenly costs you $10 a month and you don't want to buy it.
Mm-hmm. Very true. It happens a lot. So, thinking about the MLC side of things, I would guess that as MLC sends out student teachers and new teachers, the expectation is these millennials have it going on with technology. They know all about technology. Not always necessarily true.
Yeah. The student teachers we've had at Bethany this year, they're wonderful, wonderful. They're going to be great teachers, but it's so much to know and to put into practice. And just because you know how to check your Facebook page or you can tweet about a video or, you know, all those kind of things, that doesn't mean you know how to integrate websites or videos into your classroom correctly. They're really two different skill sets. But I think the expectation definitely is there that, oh, these kids have grown up with technology. They should be able to just do it. And that's not always the case.
And of course, a lot of the articles and things that are referenced, by the way, there's an NMC Horizon Report topic behind this discussion. And a lot of the articles and things that are referenced in that article really make you feel pretty small when you're a small Wells grade school or whatever the situation might be. They have large districts. They have people that help with technology integration as their full-time job, and I don't think Wells schools, even some of the larger federations and things, necessarily have the resources to dedicate to coaching teachers through technology implementations and things like that. So any way that we can help teachers in their professional development and in supporting them and things, hopefully Wells Tech Podcast helps them sometimes as we try out and demonstrate and talk about things. But whatever it takes to support them, they've got to be overwhelmed trying to do the multi-ed grade classrooms and, wear the hat of athletic director and all those different things that we're throwing at our Wells teachers as it is.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. You think of a public school, they've got their technology specialists, they've got a whole crew of tech people that if you want this app on your iPads, you just tell them, hey, I want this app on my iPads. And when I got iPads, I had to figure out how to do that myself. There weren't, I didn't have tech people to really go to. So I think it would be great if high school federations or areas could get together and kind of pool their tech know-how, point out some people who really know what they're doing that could, maybe teach a sample lesson in someone's class. I would, that'd be great to go to some other first and second grade classrooms and teach some sort of lesson to show teachers an idea of how it could work in their classroom. I think a lot of times teachers just don't really know where to start. And you can give them, a list of ideas. You could even give them a lesson plan. But if they've never seen how the tech actually integrates in the classroom, that's a really hard thing to do if you don't know what you're doing.
There's certainly a connect the dots component to, I think, this equation where it's not simply somebody that is tech savvy. It's somebody who understands technology and where it fits.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge is, connecting those dots. And I think not everybody is going to be able to do that, but there needs to be at least somebody, in every faculty who has an eye toward that and is an encourager and can kind of set up some resources and be a facilitator to do that. Without that, I think you just do a lot of treading water, don't you?
Yeah. And I've seen it especially in faculties where you've got that one person who knows the tech and then maybe they take a call elsewhere and the person coming in doesn't have the same tech abilities, and where does that leave the rest of the faculty? But I think training as many of our teachers as we can is very important.
Of course. There's a few other things that our teachers need professional development to keep their skills in place as well, and few other topics that they're hoping to teach well besides the technology. So there's a real balancing act there for them, and totally respect where they're coming from. We did have a really great article that was part of or linked to in the NMC report. It's from Teach Magazine, I believe, and it's called How to Manage a Digital Classroom. And it actually gives you some really practical techniques and things for your classroom organization and management, and then further down for instructional approaches. Things like establishing at the beginning of the unit how and where you want students to organize their data related to the project, such as naming files and where to store things and how to share things. Ensure the websites and learning platforms you recommend are secure. Review which websites your students are recommending to each other. Post anchor charts that provide technology tips or software instructions, and or put them in a binder near the computers. A changing list of tips can be generated by the students as well as they work through things. And then on instructional approaches, things like use the material to design and implement student learning that extends the curriculum content where and when possible, and students are motivated and benefit from working collaboratively with peers in a team or in pairs, you know, having them share resources or computing devices if there's not enough for everyone in the classroom. Provide specific and descriptive feedback to students as they progress through online material, just as you would with traditional material. Integrate assessment tasks, which provide for formative and summative assessments of the task in the unit, and so on. So I think every teacher would benefit from the 5 minutes it would take to read through this list, and this would give you a great starting point for envisioning how you can implement those kind of things in your own classrooms. Great article.
Yeah, one of the bullet items that was down toward the bottom that I thought maybe would be worth a little bit of a discussion was fostering a supportive classroom community. Along with the same bullet that says, take full advantage of student expertise. I see that as a life skill, the ability to leverage expertise that you don't have or share expertise that you do have in a community, community-oriented way. There's obviously lots of lessons to be learned there, but there are some kids that are going to get it, some that don't, and to have the teacher be the only one responsible for bringing everybody along, I think, is a recipe for failure.
Yeah, I agree. I can remember that in the students I worked with in the computing environment, and that maybe it was the student who didn't say much or even didn't have the greatest grades, but they totally got the website. So all of a sudden, not only are they able to mentor others in their classroom, but they have something special they can do. I mean, there's so many benefits to that collaborative nature and that mentoring student to student. Good stuff when you implement that. So I think that we've probably exhausted our talking points, but definitely an area that we'll keep our eye on and see and look for best practices in different well schools and things, and continue to share information about nurturing those teachers and assisting them as the classroom is definitely changing for them.
Very good. So be sure to visit the show notes page to get all that information and links to all the articles that we talked about. We have a little side segment that we've been inserting in the show the last few weeks, our countdown episode 500. We're on episode 494, so only six to go. And we do kind of a quick year in review or a retrospective, and we're up to year four, 2011. And it's kind of fun to take a look at our picks of the week, how we did, see if any of those are still in play or if they were told to fail. Sally, when you're looking at what you brought forward in 2011, how'd you do?
Yeah, looking at the things that were on my best list, I did pretty well. There's one that I don't use anymore, but there's been plenty of activity in that space. So my number three best of the year was DIGO. Still a DIGO user, very actively using that as my bookmarking tool of choice. And we use it for our Wells Tech community as well. And honestly, I tell people often that's where my brain is. If I'm looking for something, I can typically go to DIGO, type in a search criteria, you know, a search word, a tag, and it'll pop right up. So I'm a big fan of DIGO. Over the years, they have changed like their pricing and things, and I don't pay for their more advanced pro level or whatever, premium level, but I still get a lot out of the tool. My number two pick of the year was Ustream.tv, and especially from my iPad. And I guess that was a predictor of the fact that Facebook Live and Snapchat and all those were coming soon to our digital lives, because we definitely depend on and make use of quite extensively live streaming in all kinds of settings nowadays. So I don't use Ustream anymore. I'm sure they're probably still out there doing their thing, but at the time that was kind of a breakthrough for them to offer streaming from the mobile device. Really convenient.
You were using it to stream Bible class maybe at the time. Does that sound right?
Yeah, I think that's right. We had been using it for our regular church worship, but then I was able to sit in Bible class with my iPad, and eventually Final Web came up with the web streaming, and I did that for my iPad as well. So Ustream was just kind of one of the big providers that got us started down that path. So more and more live streaming all the time. And then, yeah, I can speak pretty highly of my number one pick of the year. It was WordPress. And that was back in the day when WordPress was really emerging as an all-encompassing kind of website instead of just a blogging tool with the date-centric entries or whatever. And now WordPress is definitely the leader. I don't know. I've heard some statistics of, you know, they can websites are
35% of all websites run WordPress.
Yeah. Huge percentage. So they're definitely king in that realm. And so I was just the insightful one to point that out way back in 2011. How about you, Martin? How'd you do in 2011? That well?
Well, in 2011, so I must have been hitting my stride. But number three, if you put these in, I don't know if you have these in 3-2-1 order or 1-2-3 order.
I do. Yeah, 3-2-1.
Wells mobile app was number three, and that's still going strong. And we'll try and rewrite that this summer, add some nice features. But it's installed on over 20,000 devices at this point, which is quite a few, more than we expected when we built the app. JotForms was number two, probably the premier forms tool, although there are some competitors. We use it here in the office yet, but there are other uses for as well. And my number one was a hardware pick, the Apple MacBook Air. Then a computer that you still see a lot, probably one of the best computers that Apple ever made. One of the cheaper ones, but also one of the most expensive ones. So happy with my computer.
Are you still using your computer, your MacBook Air from 2011?
I'm not. I have a MacBook, which is actually a little lighter.
Okay.
Than the MacBook
Air, so. Go figure.
Interesting. 2011 was
cool stuff.
Yep. We should probably move on to the next segment of the show. That is news in tech.
And I will claim responsibility for picking out this news article. You guys may not think it's newsy, but I thought it was pretty cool. Google's co-founder, I think it's Larry Page. Has developed a flying car. And apparently it looks a lot more like a hovercraft or a pontoon boat or something. Mm-hmm. But it takes off vertically, kind of like a helicopter, and they're in this space. I had no idea that they were developing flying cars. But one thing I thought that was really interesting was it received approval from the FAA for the aircraft to be flown in uncongested areas. Customers will not need a pilot's license to use it. So coming soon, maybe in 5 or 10 years when we're talking about our picks of the year or whatever, we'll be saying we were cutting edge with flying cars and we'll all be flying around all over the place. Who knows?
Sally was right on top of it.
Yeah, always cutting edge. I also heard, which this is silly. This was a wait, don't tell me question, but that drones were delivering Chipotle out in the Silicon Valley or something like that. So get your burrito dropped from the sky to you. So, you know, that times are changing.
Idea. I really like
that. Yeah. Anyway, that's your news and tech.
All right. The next segment that we normally run here is what's going on in Wells.
And I will speak up yet again. This is not anything new, but something we haven't highlighted in quite a while, and that is that Wells has a fantastic digital display and PowerPoint graphic image library. And I know more and more of our congregations and schools are going to digital display, where you can flash up different advertisements or announcements or whatever it may be. And Wells is right there to support you with that. So just all the different initiatives through Wells, you can find some really nice designed graphics for them. Also events and things like that, Church Extension Fund, Campus Ministry, Multilanguage Publication, pretty much stuff to support all different areas of Wells. I'm wondering, there's the Wells mobile app. I've heard somebody likes that one. And you can find all kinds of graphics here to use with your digital display. So seems like there was just a conversation we referenced last week, Martin, where people were talking about how to set up digital displays using a Chromebit. And pretty simple to do, and Wells is right there for you, providing content for your digital display. So link to that in the show notes.
Very impressed with this selection that they have, because they provide promotional material for all kinds of things, worship conference, devotion, things that in congregations or schools would be interested in. So it's not just go sin it kind of stuff. It's stuff that I think would be of interest to congregation members, school parents. And so take a look
definitely
at what
and very high quality.
This, yes. Let's move on to our picks of the week. Rachel, you're our guest. You have a pick this week.
I have a pick this week. In the spirit of professional development for teachers, my pick is a blog that I don't frequent super often, but I go to enough that I think it warrants some viewage from our listeners. It's technologyrocksseriously.com.
Serious.
Yeah, all one word. And truthfully, I was drawn to this blog because she's got good typography, and I really love fonts. And she's got a free printables page that's got cute stuff for school with really adorable fonts and things like that. But she also pins or posts some really great ideas. They're very random because it's whatever she's doing. She's a technology coordinator, I believe, at a school. I don't even know where. Somewhere in the South, I believe. And so her posts are they're kind of all over they cover pretty much every subject, and she's got a very nice list down the side of all the different tags. And one of my favorite places for my kids is to go to the holiday fun at the very top. And she's got all the different holidays you can think of. We've got Halloween and fall and Thanksgiving and Christmas, and she just posts to a lot of websites that would be good for interactive whiteboards, different educational activities for those kind of things. And for me, it's been a really easy way to look for maybe we've got 5 minutes left and I'm not quite sure what to do. Or it's the 100th day of school and we want to, you know, do something kind of fun, but I don't want to look very hard. So it's a blog that I think is worth following. It's not going to overwhelm you with tons of posts, but if you're looking for something, she's probably got an idea about it.
So technologyrocksseriously.com.
Yes. Okay. Plus, it's a fun name, so, I mean, that just makes it better.
I just looked through a little bit of her printables section, and she has faith-based printables, so yeah. She is a Christian as well, so that's really neat. Sharing her gifts.
Sally, how about you today?
Oh, I have to talk to, huh? I will follow up on our show last week when we featured several infographics, and right after the show, I mean, that's the way it works, isn't it? Right after the show, I came across this incredible article. It's from a site called VizMe, and it's how to make infographics, a visual guide for beginners. And they have a great article here, kind of walks you through a step-by-step guide for infographics. And these are some high-quality infographics that they're coaching you through. So define your target audience, define your goals, define the medium, and they talk through different sizes and different things you might do with it. Choose your topic and even write a thesis statement for what you're trying to do, conducting research, all kinds of stuff. Find the right information. Find the story in the data. So actually, you know, do some analysis of what you've gathered and look for differences or similarities and comparisons and things that you can make. And then choose the type of infographic. They even have an infographic to help you decide what type of infographic you want to make, a timeline, a mixed charts, flow charts, how to, photographic, hierarchical, etc. So they'll kind of walk you through figuring that out. And then it gets really meaty with how to write copy for your infographic, fleshing out a narrative, you know, kind of walking you through designing it, building an airtight case. There's some really great content here. Deciding on a tone, creating a textual outline, and then on into wireframing and designing. And as if that blog post wasn't thorough enough, they have a really impressive ebook. You'd have to give them your email address, of course, in order to get their ebook, but it's very well done, super high quality. So if you're looking to notch it up a bit with infographics, a great visual communication and something the church can be good at as well as others. And so if you're looking to learn something new, find out more, dig a little deeper, I think this is a great article and free ebook to take advantage of. So check it out.
Nice. Mm-hmm. My pick is, let's see if I can get the right spoon up here, is more of a tip than a pick, and that is, and all browsers have this, but I'll focus on Chrome since that's the one I spend the most time in, is the ability to save web pages. Now, there are all kinds of tools and plugins that will push this to Readme Later or Instapaper or those kinds of things, but there is stuff built into every browser that allows you to actually pull down all the content for offline viewing. So it's very easy to do, and I'll put a link in the show notes to an article that talks about how to do it in Chrome. You simply go to the menu, and in Chrome it's under More Tools, and then you have a Save Page As, or the familiar Control S keyboard shortcut. So once you do that, you can up will pop a dialog box that will allow you to do the what kind of save, web page complete or HTML only. If you hit the complete one and do a save, you will pull down all of the assets. That means all of the images, all of the code for the particular website that you were on. Now, if it's database back, you won't be able to navigate necessarily around the page, but you will get all of the content that is sitting on the page that you're viewing. So if you have, see my desktop here, if you have a need to go offline, or you're maybe afraid that your internet connection may not be there, or you may not have one, this might be a good way to make sure that you've got everything available to you, whether you are online or offline. Now, I've opened up the page again in the browser, and you can see from the URL that it begins with the word file rather than HTTP. So that means that it's pulling the content from my local hard drive, and all of the images, all of the assets are there, and you have just a foolproof way to make sure that you've got the content that you need. you can store them on your desktop or on a flash drive or whatever, just to make sure that you've got everything that you need in. So, like I said, all the browsers have something like this. They all call it a little bit different, but just a nice tip to remember as you are thinking about getting ready for a presentation or teaching class, that you can download all that content and just kind of safeguard the experience if you're thinking that and may not be in a great internet zone. So.
Very nice, Martin. First of all, compliments on the eagle picture. I bet you took that picture, didn't you?
I did.
On your desktop. That's really nice.
Flambeau up in northern Wisconsin. I took that from a boat, actually, which was all the more incredible that I got such a check. Thanks.
Cool. And I'll just say, it seems to me when I was just reading through that classroom management techniques, it advises teachers to be prepared in case technology fails. So if you're really dependent on a certain website, that seems like a great tip for teachers to save a copy of it. So
and I hardly ever see anybody do that. I think that's just a great technique if you really want to foolproof your presentation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very good.
All right. Well, those are our picks of the week. We should move along to our ministry resource of the week. And I'll share my screen again here.
I think you're up, huh?
I am up. So let's get to the right screen here. And my ministry resource of the week is something that we reference probably every week or certainly on community feedback times, and that is our Google group, our Wells Tech Google group. And so I wrote a little bit of a blog post about it and did a little screencast, but really it's simple to get involved with a group that's been around for a long, long time, and it's made up of technologists across the Synod who are willing to share their expertise, as well as those people who come into the group looking for answers to their questions from those who have experiences with a particular technology. We switched this a year and a half ago, maybe, from a listserv, which was getting a little long in the tooth, and we said, well, let's just use the tools that Google has provided. What that does mean to join is you do need a Google account, but most people do. All you have to do is go to the link. There is a link in the upper right of our Wells Tech show notes page, a blue one, right in the middle of a whole forest of icons here, the bright blue one. And that will take you to the Google group, and you certainly need to log in with the Google account, and then you'll get a button that will say request to join or join the group. We'll get an email. We'll let you in, and from there on in, you can enjoy the conversation. Go on, lots of different conversations about online giving, interactive whiteboards, HymnSoft, giveaways, Google Apps, all live streaming, geomapping, all kinds of technology topics. So if you're you want to contribute or if you have a question, this would be a great group to join. You can get emails from this. You can interact with the system totally through email. So you can sign up and you tell the system, hey, send me emails when something comes into the group. Or you can get digests of those emails. Or you don't have to get any emails at all. You can just go to the website and see what's going on in more of a forum kind of concept where you have threaded discussion and such. So it works really well. It's very popular. When we moved to the new platform, we brought all the old stuff along. So it goes back many, many years. There's 636 topics on our Google group, so it's easy to do a search Google searching, and it turns up great results, and you can even participate in conversations that happened not just yesterday, but 2, 3, 4 years ago, if there's something to contribute and to help spring back up to the top, and people will get that notice and maybe start another conversation around it at the top. So that is my ministry resource.
Great ministry resource, great Wells Tech community that we have that really pitches in and shares their knowledge there. What a blessing.
Truly. Sally, we probably should share a featured video this week. I know you came up with some that you felt were worthy of sharing.
Well, I had some help this week, Martin, and that was in the form of Mr. Todd Hackbarth, who's a teacher at Lakeside Lutheran High School, who wrote to me to let me know that they've been at it again. They've created another amazing video. This one's called The Truth Told by Youth, and it features first and second graders who are from their Federation schools. And as the students visited Lakeside, they had them produce this video. He said that they were in front of the camera. They also did a lot of the filming, sound, and even directing. They were wonderful workers, and they want to share this just as far and wide as they can. So thanks for sharing the video. It's really well done. I really encourage you to watch it and to share it. You know, you need great content. Put it on your church website, put it on your school website, share it personally via Facebook, Twitter, wherever you can, and let the truth be told by you. So good stuff, Lakeside students, old and young. So thanks for sharing that.
Yes, they've done. They're getting a reputation for some very quality media coming out of those.
Excellent stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's going to do it. We will come back again and do this next week. And I'm kind of excited about our topic for next week, and that is tech support for family and friends. All of us who are kind of into technology sometimes have to put on that hat and be that tech support for family and friends as we get into confirmation season and summer. Sometimes we'll be called into duty. So we're going to talk a little bit about maybe the approach that you should take, some of the tools that you may want to consider to help those family and friends stay safe, or backups, or, you know, all kinds of topics. So if you are maybe in that role, don't miss next week.
I see our friend Rachel Feld laughing. I bet she's done a little tech support in her day as well.
Oh, just a bit.
Just a bit.
A labor of love. So, yeah. Rachel, thank you for joining us. We are so excited about your new position and can't wait to catch up with you once you get your feet on the ground there. And that'll be some neat conversations as well. So blessing on wrapping up the school year and moving and, you know, all that good stuff. And boy, blessings on that very important work that you had there.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited.
Good. Awesome. Sally, we will talk to you again next week for show number 495. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you.